This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. They have sold over $400 million in DVC Vacation Club and have over 100 years of combined direct DVC experience. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello, guys. Welcome to episode 403 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. This is Morgan, and we have big news doesn't cover. We have major news that we are going to talk about, and I've got some great Disney nerds here to help me dissect this news. First up, we have Melissa. How's it going, Melissa?
Hey, everyone. I've got my flow charts, my Rubik's Cube, and I'm ready to talk about this news.
And some aspirin.
Yeah, definitely.
And that laugh you heard was the one and only Ed.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back, Ed. You've been on like a whirlwind vacation, exploring the parks and having all kinds of fun.
Yep. And it's all over. I'm back home. I'm in the Northern Studios, as you can probably tell by my voice. And, we're getting back to the whole routine again. However, we've been shocked with such great news. We had planned this week's for 403's podcast to do a show on ways to redesign Disney Springs. However, we had a little bit of an update of news this week that we're going to discuss. So pretty psyched about that, actually. That was kind of a shock.
Yeah, and if you guys are not aware of what the news are, then you have to have been living under a rock for the last couple of days, because we are talking about the one, the only, long-anticipated Disney Genie.
Well, and we never knew that it was going to be called Disney Genie, and
we did, though, because it was announced the last D23, which was, what, 2019?
Oh, yeah. Right, but not that did they announce that it was going to be the pay and options, too, at the time?
We didn't know about the pay options, but we knew Disney Genie was coming, and it was going to be this whole new way to do your itinerary. Like, we knew stuff about it. Mm-hmm. And we had separate apps. We had the My Disney Experience, we had the Disney Play app, and then they are now one app, so now we're just adding more to the My Disney Experience.
We're right.
Shoving more into that little suitcase, that little box.
Right. And actually, what we're going to do is talk about the new, I guess, idea, because it's going to be released this fall. They didn't give a specific date. The Disney's blog website has information. The blog has information. They have a couple of videos out there we've been checking out. And basically what we have is a service that's going to be, like Morgan said, added onto the My Disney Experience, which is going to be interesting to see, because that's a pretty busy app as it is right now. And one of the things we'll probably talk about either today or down the road is just how well the service is going to work once it's all included. Melissa was looking at it. Well, what'd you think, Melissa?
Pull the flowchart.
Yeah, pull up the flowchart. I think it would be good to just kind of briefly discuss what we've had before, right? So we went from nothing, which was just all standby lines. When you went into the park, everyone was in the same corral. And then we moved to those hard tickets, right? You had to like dash into the park and find the machine and
get
your three passes and then go back for a return time based on what the pass told you. So there wasn't a lot of planning. It was kind of a random draw.
And you can only get the one at a time. Till you use that one, you couldn't get your next one.
Yep. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so then we moved to FastPass Plus in Walt Disney World, where it gave you that flexibility 60 days out for the on-site guests. That was a nice benefit, incentive to stay on site. Mm-hmm. And if you weren't on site, then it was 30 days. And you scheduled your what rides you wanted, and some parks had tiers and things. So this is now a mashup of some of the, what Disneyland had, the Max Pass, and now what Disneyland Paris is having also with this kind of paid tier, kind of bringing those together to, I think the intent for Disney is to simplify your vacation. So you don't have to be the pre-planner and go and look 60 days out and decide, where am I going to be? What am I going to do? It's going to give you at least a little bit less stress there. Right. But maybe for some of us like me who enjoyed that planning piece and liking to know, where am I going to ride and what am I going to do? A little bit more stress. That's where the Advil Morgan comes in.
But also, let's not forget that not everything is paid with Disney Genie. We do have this complimentary level. So if you, for whatever reason, do not want to pay any additional for your vacation, or, you know, you're like us and you go so much and you've kind of got this down pat that you don't think you need it, you can still enjoy Disney Genie, mm-hmm. but you can just enjoy the free part of it, which to me, the free part of it is still pretty intriguing.
Well, you know, let's take a look at what they've suggested for us. Well, what's part of the free part? Now, the one thing I saw was wait times.
Yep.
But what made the wait times was cool is you could pick out the rides that day you wanted to ride. So I guess it kind of lets you know when was the best time to ride it. So now it's funny because as I'm saying this, I can hear in the back of my head, wow, that's Touring Plans. Right?
Yep.
Because you look at their the Lines app, and it will tell you what's the best time to ride that ride that day. Ride it right now, ride it any time, ride it later. But it's that type of technology. Genie gives you that option. And I think they talked about food options too, like what restaurants were crowded and such.
Yeah. And they even said, like, you don't even have to pick your rides. So say, for example, you start in Magic Kingdom and you can put in that, you know, your group loves princesses and pirates or whatever. It's then obviously going to suggest the stuff that is what those interests are. So it's going to suggest that you go on Pirates of the Caribbean. It's going to suggest that you go to, hopefully soon, a Disney princess meet and greet. So, I mean, that's pretty cool that you don't have to say specifically, I want to ride these rides. You can just say, I'm interested in this. What do you got for me?
Well, the issue I see is we're going to take a little while to be able to trust it then, I guess.
I think of it like my iPhone. When I first get the iPhone and you do the speak to text, the phone's going to take a little time to like learn your voice, because we all have accents. We all have, you know, just the way we talk, everybody's different. So I feel like it's kind of going to be like that kind of thing. It's going to take time for that Disney Genie if you just go by like, just give me what you got and not say specifically what you want to ride. It's going to take a little time to say, hey, last time you were here, you rode this. So let's ride this again, or let's try this now.
If it can only be that smart, let's hope.
It might be. We don't know.
Do we think also the benefit over Touring Plans, right? Like Touring Plans is a data mine and of lots of information, lots of algorithms, really smart people behind Touring Plans. Would the additional benefit of Disney potentially be, and that maybe leads some people to trust a little more, is Disney can be tracking real time who's in those lines. What does that line look like? And how many people are we sending there? Because they're not going to, I bet my plan isn't going to look the same as yours, Ed, even if we put the same parameters.
Right.
Because it couldn't send everybody the same route. It's going to need to pull and pick and choose. And then also, depending on maybe how long I'm going to plan to stay in the park, but there may be an option where it says, I plan to park hop to Epcot in the afternoon to take advantage of food and wine. And so
we do talk in the video that you can, it will do multiple parks.
Right. Yep. I think that was also around the, and we'll get to the different tiers, but the tier with the Genie Plus. They'll let you do one in one park, one in the other park. But I know, I totally agree with that. And I think it's kind of just the natural progression bringing us to where we are.
I mean, I think so I do pay for the touring plans, especially if I go to that other park, which we won't talk about. just because, you know, that it is helpful. So I'm actually intrigued to kind of like do that side-to-side comparison, because we've done it before. As Disney nerds, we've done it before. We've pulled that Touring Plans line app up, said, okay, well, they're saying Haunted Mansion is 15 minutes. The Disney app is saying 30 minutes. Let's see what, you know, and it's always Touring Plans. Touring Plans has always been more accurate.
Sure.
So it's going to be interesting to do that side-by-side comparison to see.
We're going
to
find out that there's a non-disclosure, and we're going to find out down the road at 10 years that Len was part of the Disney Genie app. You know.
Well, he gives all the data. It's an open book, so any mm-hmm. student can pull that data and be able to do reports and analysis on it. So Disney has all access to it, where Disney does not share that information to allow the next best, greatest analyst to come out. So.
Sure. Maybe Disney is stealing his info, and he's not being, you know, compensated. You know,
well, here's the thing: they add the extra level, and you kind of touched on it. Is that, well, Disney can actually put that level on it, saying that, well, if everybody decided to go to Pirates right now, we could still say, you know what, you wanted to go to the Pirates right now, but you'd probably want to go to Winnie the Pooh or like right here or Little Mermaid instead first, and then go over there. Kind of ease some people over out of the main, you know. Congestion, perhaps.
Yeah. And it's also going to do the dining thing with that, too. So if it sees that the line's filling up for Pirates, it might say, hey, you know, go over to hopefully Tortuga Tavern if it's open, or, you know, go over to Pecos Bill and get some food. You know, it's going to suggest things like that, which if you're not familiar with the dining things, and I feel like Magic Kingdom hides theirs a little bit better, especially Pecos. If you don't, you can walk right by Pecos Bill and not know it's there sometimes. Sure. So I think that's really cool, especially for the people that aren't as familiar of where all the quick service is.
Yep.
Morgan, when you use Touring Plans on a trip before, or Ed, did you feel that you were more connected to your phone on that trip than you were when you maybe just went as a leisurely trip and kind of used your own nerd memory of like, this is where I go and this is what I do, and, you know, what I'm seeing? Or was it the same amount?
I would say lines I used to use a lot more, where I was doing a lot more of the reporting of the wait times and doing things like that, along with keeping track and actually chatting on theirs. Now I use lines more of a reference to what Disney's showing me, and I'm using Disney more. So I got to think I use it as a tool regardless. So I don't know if I would do without it. I mean, I don't think there's enough boards at the parks like I thought there was back when. But so I think I'm stuck with my phone.
And I feel like every time I go to Disney, because I go so much, I'm always a leisure, you know, tourist. And, you know, Melissa, you can test it too, especially when you live locally. You don't care if there's an hour wait for Haunted Mansion or Pirates, because you can come back tomorrow. So I still have that mentality a little bit of like, so I mean, I'm coming back so I can always ride it next time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't ride Seven Dwarfs for like a year and a half after it opened, because 2-3 hour wait, I'll be back later.
Sure.
So I use Touring Plans as a reference. I use it more in the other park, because up until last year, I hadn't been in 5+ years. So I needed Touring Plans more for the other park, because I'm not as familiar and I'm trying to get familiar. But that's for working with Jimmy's travel agent, more or less.
And that's where I think, because this is the optional part, or not the optional, this is the free
complimentary
part of it, where that kind of plays in, where I'd say what Morgan's telling us, and probably about 95% of us are in the same boat, where I'm not sure how much new information it's going to give us. We know kind of what's going on here, what's going on there. We're going to touch base with it to kind of check on line weights, type things like that, perhaps. But I'm not sure how much more we're going to dive into it than we normally do. Yeah. People that have never been to the park, like, you know, my trip over to Universal, I totally get it. If this is your first trip to Disney, or first or second trip, this definitely could be invaluable. Plus, it matches up to the My Disney experience, so you're not going outside to a different app like Lines. So definitely. So now let's move on to the next section, because this is where it gets a little weird. As they go on with the announcement and as they go on with the video, they announce how you can enhance your Disney Genie experience. And you and you can add to it by upping it. And we're really getting kind of, I think, lazy in our generation, because Plus seems to be the way to go now. But you can up it to make it Disney's Genie Plus. By doing that, in Walt Disney World, you can pay $15 a day, or in Disneyland, you can pay $20 a day. So now, and I want to point out something too, Disneyland is doing away with Disney, what's it called, Max? Disneyland Max?
Yes, their Max Pass.
The Max Pass. And I'm so sorry we don't have Sam with us tonight. Unfortunately, he is on the beach. Even though we're recording at 9 at night, I think he's still on the beach down in Florida right now, enjoying the evening there. But he's done it, and he knows a lot more about it, and we'll talk about that in the future. But in a nutshell, Morgan was telling us about what that was. What was that?
So from my understanding, and this is from what I've heard from Sam and what I've heard from friends who have been to Disneyland, is basically when you're in the parks, you go on the app and you pick a ride as your, you know, fast pass, quote unquote fast pass. Get on that, go in that line, ride that ride. Once you're done, pull up the phone and look for another one. So basically, you can do that as many times as available for the entire day that you're there. So basically, kind of think of it for you're in Walt Disney World and you've done those three that you pre-ordered, and how you used to be able to go on the phone and see, can I get an extra one? So basically, think of that as your all-day fast pass system.
Okay. So in a nutshell, that's actually kind of what Disney Genie Plus sounds like. Genie Plus. Is that you'll be able to select over the course of the day for, again, $15 a day for Disney World and $20 for Disneyland, which we have to look at that, because I think there was less rides at Disneyland than there were at Disney World, but I guess the smaller parks make it more dear.
Well, this is actually kind of funny. So I was explaining to my boyfriend Disney Genie, and it's $15 at Disney World, $20 at Disneyland, and he had the same similar comment. He's like, isn't Disneyland smaller? Why are they paying more? But that's another.
That's because there's gonna be more people trying to get on less rides. So I get that. Okay. So anyway, so the way they explain Disney's Genie Plus is that it's a service that will get you on the Lightning Lane entrance, which is the renamed Fast Pass entrances, onto the rides. Now they don't say specifically what rides they are that it's going to be on the list. They do mention how it's thrill rides or rides, classic rides like Haunted Mansion, to thrill rides like Big Thunder, and newer favorites like Millennium Falcon. So they do mention that in the release, but we still haven't seen a full list of those attractions.
I would assume anything that had a Fast Pass line is now going to be a Lightning Lane line, and you'll get that, except for we'll talk about the ones you might not get it for.
The next step up, technically Disney is calling it the individual attraction selection, and that's another additional purchase. We're going to call it Disney Genie Plus Plus for this episode. So with that Disney Plus Plus, you will pay another additional charge to be able to have a return service time. It sounds like Rise of the Resistance almost, where you would go in and you would get a boarding group and you would pay a fee, and you can do this twice. And so it would be likely two individual fees. And these are going to be rides such as Seven Dwarfs Mine Train in Magic Kingdom and Radiator Springs Racers in Disney California. That's directly from Disney's release. We don't have the list of other ones. However, we are assuming it's going to be things like Ratatouille, and it's going to be Rise of the Resistance, possibly Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, those types of newer attractions to help cut down the lines.
And I think they'll kind of just rotate as the newer rides open up every time, or once they see a big trend happening. One of the videos I watched, they did ask about virtual lines, and they did say the Rise of Resistance will continue to have its virtual line. So that leads me to believe that won't be one of the Hollywood Studios Genie Plus attractions, or the Genie Plus Plus. However, we don't know for sure.
Or I can also see them how it is now, if you did, so you get up, you know, for that 7 a.m. boarding group and you miss it, or you don't get up, or you're not close enough, maybe this Disney Plus Plus gets you now into the boarding group for Rise of Resistance if you didn't make that 7 a.m. boarding group.
Okay, sure. You never know.
That's my thought.
My bet for this is that the structure of Rise of the Resistance boarding group is the Plus Plus. That was the testing ground. That's what it's going to look like. So some other ride or some other rides within Walt Disney World and Disneyland are going to have that structure. And it's just that you're going to pay. You're going to go in the morning and say, I want to ride Rise of the Resistance. I'm going to pay an additional $15 and you get a boarding group. And that's what you're going to ride.
Right.
By the way, we are assuming extra $15. We don't know. The price. It does say it's going to vary by date, by attraction, and by park.
So they're going to announce that. If it's an extra $5, does it become a carnival now? When we're paying by ride after we pay to get in? I think of it like the original,
when you got to the parks, you had the e-ticket, you had, you know, the different level tickets. So it's kind of like that now, just on your phone.
Well, the bottom line is there's less standby. Well, there's less virtual. How could they even have virtual waits for a Rise if they don't know how many people are going to, quote unquote, pay to ride Rise or whatever rides?
Well, a couple of additional factual things we do know is that this will go across park hopping. So if you are enrolled in the Disney Genie Plus service, you can park hop and get your continued ride on in that line queue and just carry over to the next park. And then also for the what we're calling the Genie Plus Plus, that would be the same. So you could get your first one at Hollywood Studios and then park hop over to Epcot in the afternoon and use that second one possibly at Epcot then.
Right.
And do want to just one thing we didn't mention about Genie Plus, because I feel like everybody's focusing on the ride aspect of it. And that, of course, is the big thing. That's the big draw. But I do want to mention, because I feel like people are not really noticing this, but if in Walt Disney World, when you get Genie Plus, you're also going to get some, they're calling it augmented reality lenses for your photo pass.
Right.
And you're going to get they're calling it Disney Parks themed audio experiences. So I'm thinking you're actually going to have almost like a little personal tour guide in your ear, giving you some extra details about the parks. So I don't want, you got to add that into that $15 per person per day. Genie Plus.
And we're going to
unlimited Disney Photo Pass downloads too.
Yeah.
Right. And we're going to go over a lot more of that. Here's the thing to kind of stress too, as far as the announcement, and I don't know if I think we did say in the beginning, this is going to be bought per day. At least the way it appears now. It doesn't seem like you can plan your vacation and say, I want 7 days of these passes. It sounds like you're going to buy it that day. And you start making your passes the time the park opens. However, if you are staying at the hotels, they mentioned how an hour before the park opening, you'd be able to make your first, I guess, what do you want to call it? Disney Genie reservation? Yeah,
Disney Plus reservation. Yeah, you can go ahead and purchase it. They said it's 7 a.m. if you're staying on property at a Disney resort. So if you're getting up early anyway to try to do that boarding group for Rise of Resistance, assuming that's still going to stay, now you're just going to add Genie Plus purchasing to it too.
And that's only if you're going to pay the $15 to get the Genie Plus. Right. Anyway, if you're not going to do that, you can still use the standbys. So they and they stress how that the opportunities are there for lower income families versus higher income families, which is a real stress, and that it's available for everybody. However, it makes more planning, I think, important for guys who aren't going to use it. Really, it makes it more important as we go along. So we'll have to see.
One of the questions it didn't answer, along with, you know, when is this going to start? I would imagine before the 50th anniversary, right, to get that any kinks linked out. But is there a limit on the number of Disney Genie Plus services sold in the beginning of the day, and then also the individual attractions? Because if at some point could the system reach capacity and say we can't service you. And sure. So that's why it's a at the date, at the gate kind of purchase that you make. and only limits to so many people. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, but if you make it at the gate, so we've got how many people there for the 8 o'clock opening of the park? Everybody say buys that pass. How are they gonna? What are they gonna do after that? Like, okay, in a way, it's the Rise of Resistance issue because I specifically got a park reservation for Hollywood Studios for a second day on my last trip. So out of 4 days, 2 days were Hollywood Studios because I wanted 2 days of Rise of Resistance. The second day, I don't get the pass, so I just messed up my whole Rise of Resistance park reservation day because now I'm stuck there without Rise of Resistance. The ride was closed all day, so it's like kind of silver lining. I didn't feel as bad as I could have, but the point was, and I don't get my money back for that of making my park reservation and wasting my whole morning at Hollywood Studios for that ride not being open. So now I just spent an extra $15 on my ticket today to go into this park expecting to be on any ride I want at different times. If that's not going to happen, then do they get money back? Or is it going to be like the magical ordering the food, the Mobile Express, where you decide you want to order food for lunch at 12:30 and you open up the app to find out, well, pickup windows start at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so it's already 2 hours past. Is that going to be the way it rides? Meaning I'm looking at 10 a.m. and I can get on Space Mountain at 5 p.m. if I want to stay in the park all day?
I mean,
and do you do nothing between those two rides is what I'm getting at? Or do you have to just be flexible?
My thought, though, is Genie Plus, I don't feel like they're going to put a limit on that because there's so many options. Not every person is going to ride the same exact rides at the same exact time. That's the beauty of the parks. Some people are going to go to Adventureland. Some people are going to go to Tomorrowland. You know, they're
But don't you think you would go in the park at opening, and since you bought this already, you're going to go on Seven Dwarfs using this option?
Yeah, but I feel like
And won't that? I'm just afraid that's going to close down. Like Melissa was saying earlier, it's going to close down the availability for that ride until like 8 at night.
But what they might do is they might say, okay, you know, because they're trying to create people's itineraries for them. You buy Genie Plus, and it might say, okay, hey, these rides are available to ride right now. Which ones do you want to do? Mm-hmm. And Seven Dwarfs might not be there, or Haunted Mansion might not be there, or Pirates or Small World, you know, those more popular ones might not be there initially because it's the first thing in the morning. So you go ride something else, get off that ride, and then one of those might be ready because everybody else has gone to those rides. So I feel like they're not going to limit Genie Plus. Right. I feel like they might limit Genie Plus Plus. That's my thought.
Well, that's even worse because you're paying more money then.
I feel like you wouldn't be able to buy it if it was... Yeah. Is that what you were going to say, Melissa?
Yeah, I think you're going to pay as you secure it. So it's like the mobile order where you're going to go into the app and say, wow, I can get onto Rise of the Resistance at 2 o'clock. I agree. Select it and purchase. Like, take
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
fair enough. Money. Okay, I buy that. And that'll be like the $5 ticket, $10 ticket.
Yeah.
Wow. How much would I pay to get on Rise?
Because they don't want people. Yeah, they don't want people in guest relations yelling at the cast members because they couldn't get on Rise of Resistance or Seven Dwarfs or whatever these high demand attractions are. You know, I paid five, ten, whatever, how many dollars it is for Disney Plus Plus, and I couldn't ride blah blah blah. They want to prevent that. You know, they want to prevent people not having fun on their vacation. So, look, they're not going to offer it if they don't have enough high demand to offer. If they've already sold X amount, they're going to stop offering it for the day.
That's right. I wonder if, especially on those President's Day, MLK Day, Christmas, New Year's, if Genie Plus doesn't max out at some point to allow guests to pay for it later in the day. Like there's like some sort of cap because otherwise you just can't move people through all those lines. Just speculating. We have no idea.
Oh, I know. And that's all this is right now. But I just had another thought when you mentioned that. One of the other COVID things that we had given to us that we're dealing with is the park reservations. So now that is something that they do have to work with and probably won't go away now because now they have more control, which would then regulate them buying a special pass for the park that day because they can limit people.
Bingo.
A little bit more. So, okay, I could see where maybe that would help out.
Hey, Morgan, before we speculate any further, there was one additional release in this kind of memo, news release from Disney, which was information on how this will impact the disability access service. Can you tell us a little bit about how that's going to work or what we know?
Yes. So if you ever did a disability access service, so a disability pass for whatever reason, or somebody in your party needed to do it, you still have that opportunity. This is not going to take away from those people that have a disability that need some kind of access service. One thing that I thought was really good for the people that need this is they're going to do a new option to enroll the program pre-arrival. So you can basically get your pass before you get to the parks. Anybody that has been to the parks that needs to get a disability pass, you actually have to go to guest services at the beginning of your trip and wait, and however long the line is, wait for a cast member, tell them you need a disability pass, and then they set it up for you. So that actually takes time out of your park day. So having them to giving them the opportunity to be able to do it ahead of time is going to save so much time for anybody that needs a disability pass.
So now,
that's a really great change that they're making.
Yeah.
So now, when I was there this past trip, I did notice that people were using FastPass lines on some of the attractions.
And those were disability pass people.
And when we asked about that, that's what we were told. So now I wonder if this is going to actually be even more of an improvement where they could do everything in the app and set up the time to actually show up at the ride, as opposed to going to the ride first, getting the return pass from the cast member at a certain time they're coming back at, and then going back down the line again. This would make it a one-trip type of deal. So I hope that actually hooks up too.
And I would think it would be similar to that, because they do say program pre-arrival. So I'm not sure exactly what they're meaning when they say that. I know, you know, the other park, Universal, does actually have that system that Ed's talking about, where if you have a disability, you've gone to guest services just like you did at Disney, but Universal gave you a paper, little piece of paper. Universal's still on the paper. And you went up to one of their attraction attendants and you would show them the pass, and they would write, okay, come back at 1 o'clock, you know? So instead of waiting an hour to ride a ride, you can do whatever you need to do and go back at 1 o'clock. And you usually went through their fast line. So it might be something similar to that. Who knows what they're going to do for people with disabilities, but it's good that they're still doing something.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So now we're hoping that in the next couple of weeks, we're going to get some updates that gives us better names of what these what they are, as opposed to Disney Genie Plus Plus. And what the price will be for that also would be kind of cool. And I guess would be nice to see a technology update to see how they're expecting the app to perform.
Yeah,
I think that would be the biggest thing. I've had still with my app, I have hit and misses with my Disney experience. So, you know, a lot more is riding on our phones now, and this is going to add to that. So good for the good or for the bad.
One of the other questions I have on the news release is how this impacts pass holders. We are expecting to see some sort of information around pass holders being able to come to Walt Disney World and buy the pass holder ticket. And if this will be incorporated in some one of the tiers, or it won't be at all and you'll have to just pay extra, like at Universal. When I was a pass holder there, we did not get Express Pass as a included option in our ticket. We could always pay extra to have it. So will that be this case, or will it be similar to Disneyland where there's going to be a certain tier that would include something?
I would like to see it at a little bit of a discount. And the only reason why I say that is Genie Plus includes the photo pass downloads, which pass holders already get. So if for a pass holder, I only do photo pass because it's included in my annual pass. That's just a cool thing to have. So if you're giving me something that I've already got as a pass holder, I'm like, even if it's like 5 to 10% off or something like that, I would be okay with giving me just a tiny discount because I'm not getting as much of a value as a non-pass holder. That's my desire. That's my wish.
I agree with you, Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
And do, since we are talking about passes, they are saying that annual passes will be for sale by the 50th. So we're just waiting for that official date. So, I mean, that's exciting too. I feel like we're going to get hit with two things. Passes are available again, and here's Genie. And it's like, boom. And you've got however many days till the 50th to learn Genie.
Right. Right. Because, you know, with every new system, there's going to be the ups and the downs and how to get around it. I think Morgan and, I'm sorry, Melissa, in your history of the FastPass systems and such like that, I was going over all the different strategies we had. I still remember how Quinn was old enough finally to go off on his own running to get fast passes for us at Hollywood Studios for Toy Story.
I had that unfortunate job as a young teenager also.
Yeah, right. So things like that are kind of things that we remember. But technology is great. I think it's awesome. I hope this works out very well. However, it is kind of frightening, because I just want to point out one more time, not to be the whole doomsayer, we're already paying 100 such bucks to get into the park each day. Okay, on top of that, now we're paying $15 extra to make sure we get on the rides like we used to FastPass for free. But we're also going to be able to pay extra bucks for getting on two specific rides that day also. So I guess it gets to the point where you just have to weigh out what's it worth to you. Universal Studios, I think the pass for getting on all the rides over there, their major fast pass is like $200, I think, added onto the ticket, or some ridiculous price in that regard. But people were doing it left and right. So what am I missing?
But then you've also got with Universal, one thing they do, and you know, who knows if Disney will adopt this, is if you stay in a certain level of their Universal Resorts, you get their fast pass system for free. Mm-hmm. Because Jimmy did that last year. He, you know, upgraded his room stay because he got that FastPass thingy included.
Yeah, something to think
so
about.
Maybe Disney is going to do that. You know, it obviously won't be the value.
Right.
But is it going to be for deluxe resorts?
And they're doing all the things they've been predicting for years, meaning that the more expensive resorts will have better privileges at the parks as opposed to the less expensive or value resorts. I hope that's not the case. I hope it doesn't continue. And I might be a little odd about this one, but I think it started with the parking lots. When they started charging us to park at the hotels, $15 a night, that's when Disney started to cave in and started doing what the Orlando hotels were doing. And this, I think, is just another step in that way.
I blame Universal. That was always I love Universal. I love Harry Potter. But that was always my criticism of going over there, because we had passes for both, is it was very nickel and dimey. I had to pay to park. I had to pay to do this, and I had to pay to do that. And, the express pass. And, I didn't really get a lot of discounts with my annual pass through them. My annual pass was very cheap as a resident. I only needed to go about three times, and it paid for itself. So it was a no-brainer to have a 13-month paid pass, but that's just what it felt like. And we never stayed on property for that reason. But now Disney has seen that model. Obviously, consumers will pay that extra. And I think there's a lot of pent up vacation of, I don't know, money or a desire, and so people are willing to spend that extra money, whether it be parking at the resort, parking at the park, having some sort of concierge with you at all time telling you, hey, go here, and by the way, did you want to pay a little bit more and I'll get you on this ride. That's just kind of the way of the world right now, unfortunately.
Sure.
So you had to pay to park at Universal even though you were a pass holder?
We would be able to get in the regular lots, but like the lot halfway down the city walk, they use it. They call it like
the premier parking.
Yeah, the premier. That was not included, though.
Okay.
That was a big parking lot. We stayed at Cabana Bay, so we were lucky enough to take a bus over. But the parking lot was like huge. It's multi-story. That was cool. But you still had to walk a ways to get to the main entrance.
It's not like the difference between Disney's like premier parking versus regular parking, where like half the time I feel like I park and I'm like the row behind the premier parking.
Yeah.
And for them, you, when I had my annual pass for Disney, I could, you'd pay, you'd get up to like the regular entrance, and then the valet or the premier was just that second half of the price. So sometimes we did do it, like if we came really late in the day on like New Year's or something.
Yeah.
But with Universal, it is a big, I felt like I was parking in a completely different part of the city and having to like hike all the way in.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey guys, what I have before we finish up is a couple minutes of the clip I mentioned earlier about the video on Disney Genie. So take a listen to the first couple minutes. If you want to hear more, go out to the Disney Nerds Podcast blog and you can go check out the article there and see the video inside the article. There'll be a link in the show notes for this guy.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Daniels, Vice President of Digital Experience for Disney Parks. Thank you for spending your day with us as we share a new experience coming to Walt Disney World and Disneyland theme parks this fall. As many of you know, we're always looking for ways to improve the experience for our guests, no matter how or when they choose to visit us. And our team has been working on an incredible new service that I want to preview for you today. We call it Disney Genie. And this service will soon be your new personal assistant to help you create your best Disney day. It will provide personalized itineraries that easily map out an entire day with your individual preferences in mind. Disney Genie takes all the information about the experiences you select and evaluates hundreds of thousands of combinations of a day, checking operating hours, show times, forecasted wait times, dine reservations, and more. Disney Genie service is all about simplifying and maximizing your fun, and you've never had a friend like this. It also features an option that will be available for purchase called Disney Genie Plus, which gives you a way to save time in line at many fan favorite attractions. With Genie Plus, guests can choose the next available time to arrive at select attractions and experience one selection at a time throughout the entire day. Using a queue we're introducing called the Lightning Lane entrance. Disney Genie Plus service is a lot like Disney Max Pass at Disneyland Resort, which has been a guest favorite for years. Making your visit even more personalized than ever is the goal. Guests will also be able to use Disney Genie to purchase individual arrival windows at one or two select attractions each day using the Lightning Lane entrance. This option will be available at a different set of attractions than those included with the Disney Genie Plus service. There's so much to experience at Walt Disney World and Disneyland Resorts, we never want guests to feel overwhelmed. That's why we're so excited about the Disney Genie new features that will help you throughout the day. But don't worry, we realize that there'll be guests that want to experience the parks like they have before, and they will still be able to do that. Our traditional standby lines will still be there at most attractions, and virtual queue will continue to be used at certain other attractions. Disney Genie service will be available this fall in the My Disney Experience and Disneyland apps. And I'm so proud of what this service will do for our guests.
Okay, guys, so what do you think? Do you think this is a step toward the dark side, or do you think this is definitely something that's going to help out your parking, your touring experience? Let us know. Jimmy, how can everybody get in touch with the show?
You can email us at questions at thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast, and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys, so that's it for show number 403 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. We're glad you're along with us for the ride. For Melissa, for Morgan, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
TTFM, ta-ta for now.
Have a magical night, Hakuna Matata.
Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your